Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Amen, church. Let me ask you this, is that who he is to you? Because that's who he is, but we got to bring that into us. Is that who he is to you? Do you believe it? Do you rejoice in it? Come on, church, you're being quiet on me. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, that is who you are. You are my God. You are the God that is worthy of all things. You are the God that is able to do all things. Lord, it is all about you. Help us to step away from ourselves so that we can fall into what you have for each one of us. Lord, this morning we want to lift up our neighborhood to you, Lord God, the surrounding houses that are around this church. And Lord, this church was established before any of these houses were here. It has roots in this territory. And Lord God, we pray for the neighbors around. Lord, we pray for the neighbors who have lost spouses in the last year. Lord, we pray for neighbors who are sick, who are dealing with health issues. Lord, we pray for neighbors who have children that have special needs. And Lord God, we pray for households that are in chaos, volatile chaos. We pray for those households, and we stand against the enemy in all of these cases. And Lord God, help us to be a beacon of light into these neighbors around this church, as well as into this community. So Jesus, this morning, be glorified. Be glorified in everything that we say. Be glorified in everything that we do. Be blessed by our worship. Be blessed with our prayers. Lord God, we know you're a faithful God that listens and hears. That is my God. He is the one who does this. He is the one that is above all things. He is greater than anything that I can see or perceive. Yet he loves me, and he loves each one of you. So Jesus, this morning, be lifted high. Holy Spirit, infiltrate this place. Guide every word, guide every action, guide every deed, guide every word of worship. Pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our King, our Savior, our Redeemer. And everyone shout it out. Amen. You guys can be seated. Good stuff, huh? That was fun worship this morning. That was deep. Man, that felt deep to me. All right, kids. Yeah, I'm going to just get you guys out of here right away. Go on out. Don't get run over, Dustin. Don't get run over anybody. They're on their way. I got a couple announcements, important announcements, right? Announcements are always fun and important, right? Keeps you in the know. First off is Spud the Light. Last year, we didn't do Spud the Light because, well, everybody knows why we didn't do it last year, but we're beyond that. So Spud the Light in... it shouldn't say and dessert auction. That's my fault. Just Spud the Light. So October 3rd, right after service, we'll have a meal downstairs put on by the youth, and it'll be baked potatoes and all sorts of things to put on them. And this is to raise money for Speed the Light. And if you don't know what Speed the Light is, Speed the Light is an Assemblies of God thing that helps to raise money for missionaries. So Speed the Light really provides a lot of vehicles and things like that to missionaries all over the world. So it's kind of the Speed the Light is the thing that the youth do. The kids do BGMC, Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge, which is awesome. We raise lots of money for that. Speed the Light is more for the youth. So attend that. Stay. If you guys want to do something for the youth, if you guys want to like make chili to put on top of potatoes or anything else you would want, you just talk to Doyle or Chelsea, and they will get you plugged into that. All right. That's October 3rd after service. October 9th. Is the gigantic corn maze that is at Edgewater Farms in Townsend, October 9th. Next Sunday, there'll be a sign-up in the foyer. So we want to make sure we get people signed up so we don't forget you leaving or coming back. You don't want to be a child of the corn or anything like that. But we need at least 20 people to go to get the good discount. I think it's, what, $8 a person if we get the discount, if we have 20 people. So let's sign up and have fun with that. And then next announcement, 40 Days for Life is coming up. There's a sign-up in the foyer for that. We need to fill 12 hours worth of prayer. And when I first announced this and then Reva announced it, I thought, boy, we're going to get that signed up. That sheet's going to be full. Well, it's not really full yet. So on your way out today, pick a time, sign up for that Friday. We need somebody from our church there throughout that full 12-hour shift. It's Friday, October 8th, so it's the day before the corn maze. So you can pray one day and get lost in the corn maze the next. So please, please, please sign up for that. We will have somebody there the entire 12 hours. Help us so that there's more than one or two people there the entire 12 hours. Amen? It's all different times during the day. And then last but not least, remember Trunk or Treat? Remember when we used to do Trunk or Treat before we couldn't do Trunk or Treat? Well, now we can do Trunk or Treat again. This is the plan. So Halloween, you know, guys know when Halloween is, what day it's on? Sunday. Sunday. Halloween's on Sunday. Sunday, October 31st, we are going to plan to do Trunk or Treat from 4 to 7. So we're going to do it earlier than usual. So we'll do church and then potentially be able to come back and do Trunk or Treat from 4 to 7. But that depends upon you guys, right? Because if we do Trunk or Treat, what do we need?
People.
Trunks! And if you have trunks, we need people. I have a sign-up sheet right here. And I'm going to pass this sign-up sheet around right now. Hey, James, will you grab that for me? If you want to, there's different boxes. You can sign up, and you can either do a trunk or just sign up to help, because we always have cider and popcorn and all of those things. Before we can start announcing that we're going to have Trunk or Treat, I need enough people on that list committed to say, hey, I will come and do a trunk, or I will come and help. Amen? That's where you guys come in. I know you guys can do it. A lot of you guys have trunks from prior years. Just a whole lot of fun. So please, please get signed up for that. It's going to be a great time. It always is. In the past, we've probably had 300 to 400 people, kids, come through our trunk or treats. With it being earlier, I expect maybe we'll get even more. So be ready. If we have enough people signed up, I will tell you guys that next Sunday, and we can start collecting candy too, because we need candy as well, right? It's going to be a fun time. It always is. All right. As always, there's three ways to give at this church. You can give online. You can do the giving boxes back there. You can mail it in. Tithe is really biblically, your tithe is that 10% of your income. You just that comes to the storehouse. You just give that money and it comes into the church. On top of that, you can also give an offering, and an offering you can designate. You can say, hey, I want my offering to go here, or I want my offering to go here. And that's why you use online or giving boxes or mail. There's envelopes, and you can write on there and say, hey, I want 20 of this to go here and 10 of it to go here and 5 of it to go here. It's a great way to give, isn't it? How many of you guys get excited about giving? How many of you guys have testimonies about how God has completely changed the math in your checkbook when you decide to give? It's an amazing thing. So those are your opportunities to give. Oh, well, we got a special guest today who's going to tell us all about Jesus, right? No, but it's going to be good. But before I invite Stephen up here, I need to talk to online people and Facebook listeners. Listen up right now. I looked, you guys are online. We're going to get to a point in the service where Stephen's going to transition to talking about some sensitive topics. And at that point, we're going to have to kill Facebook. So when we get to that point in the service and your Facebook feed goes blank, it goes dead, it's not internet. It's not. You don't have to try to reboot anything. You have to try to get back on. At that point, we will just stop broadcasting. Which, if you don't live in Helena, I completely understand. I'm glad you're online. But if you do live in Helena, you should be here. You should be here on Sunday mornings, because surprises like this will happen. I'm telling you, you're going to miss out on a lot. But because it's sensitive, we cannot put it online. That being said, I want to invite up here a guy who I haven't known for very long, but I consider him a good friend, a partner in ministry. It's been great getting to know these guys, Stephen and Danny. They're a couple that Stephen will ask me the beginning of the week, every week, hey, what can we do for the church? What do you need done? I'm like, man, you got a lot of stuff on your plate. You do what you need to do, but I appreciate that. They have a heart for ministry, and he's gonna minister to us this morning, and it's going to be good. I'm looking for a stand for you here. And then, like I said, we'll transition in the service, and it's going to be great. So come on up, Stephen, and you are ready to roll. Thank you, brother.
Good morning. Is this on? Can you hear me? Yeah, oh, there we go. Awesome. Well, it's an honor and a privilege to be here. Many of you guys have seen our faces around, you know, kind of like every other week kind of a thing, because we do a lot of traveling. But just want to get this out there. We do consider this our home church in this season. We are thankful to be here. It is an honor. It really is. It's been amazing getting to know Pastor Jason and Amy and many of our brothers and sisters in this fellowship. So thank you for being so loving, so welcoming. We really consider this fellowship to be family. And so it is a great opportunity we get to share a little bit about what my wife and I do, what God's call over our life is, what that looks like. So that's what we're going to do today. But before we get there, God's laid a message on my heart. As we've been traveling around over the course of Montana, really over the last several months, since about April, I've been preaching through the book of Philippians. We've been preaching from Philippians 1, 2, 3, and 4, almost the whole book in about 30 minutes. And I've been getting to this point in my time with Jesus, where I felt he was leading us to change what we've been communicating and shift towards a different passage. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to keep praying about it, keep figuring that out. And then, many of you know, last week, Pastor Jason stole my message. Not exactly, but he preached on Philippians 3. And at that moment, I'm like, okay, Lord, I know you have something else you want to speak, so what would it be? And so this morning, we are going to be in Matthew chapter 22. So if you have a Bible, I hope you do. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 22. Where we're going this morning, we're actually going to look at two parables spoken by Jesus to two different audiences. These two parables are the same story communicated in a different way to communicate a very similar truth. And we're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to learn about the character of God the Father and what he has called each and every one of us as believers in Christ to do and to accomplish here in this world before the coming of Jesus again. Amen? That's where we're going today. There's going to be a lot to get through. There's a lot of scripture. But my prayer this morning, number one, is that Jesus would be glorified. I'm going to be very honest. I don't care if you remember my name. I don't care if you remember anything about me. What I do care about is that you know Jesus. I am here to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ for the glory of God, not the glory of myself. And so if we do anything this morning, we glorify Jesus. That is why we are here. So let me pray, because I can't do this without him. Lord Jesus, I thank you. It's a privilege to share your word. May we do it correctly. I pray, God, that your word would speak to us as it has spoken to me. God, that you would just communicate clearly. And that every single person would walk out challenged, better equipped to fight the good fight of faith for the glory of Jesus. Jesus, the stage is yours. We give you full control. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew chapter 22, we're going to start in verse 1 all the way through 14. This is a parable that Jesus spoke. Specifically, this one was spoken to the religious leaders in Jerusalem. This is less than a week before the death of Jesus and the resurrection of the grave. This is literally the end of his ministry. He is communicating to Sadducees and Pharisees and the high priest, the same people that are actually, right at this moment, they are seeking an opportunity to murder Jesus. He's communicating to them. This is what he says. He says, and again, Jesus spoke to them in a parable. A parable is a fictitious story. He says in verse 2, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, one to his business. While the rest seized his servants, treated them harshly, and even killed them, the king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Then he said to the servant, the wedding feast is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding was full with guests. Verse 11. But when the king came in and looked at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendant, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. So what are some of the characters that we see in this parable? We understand that the master or the king who represents God the Father, who's throwing a wedding feast for his son, meaning Jesus. He sends his servants out to invite those that were invited to the wedding feast. His servants at that time represented the nation of Israel or the Jews. He was specifically referencing the Jews in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel. They received the invitation to be a part of the nation, but they rejected the oracles of God. How many know that under the new covenant, the veil is torn? Amen. We no longer need to be the nation of Israel to come to the wedding feast. Amen. We believe in Jesus, put our faith in Jesus, and we are invited. Let's look at verse 3 through 6 again. It'll be on the screen. I want to read this, and I just want to highlight a couple of things. And he sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Now, this is referring to the nation of Israel and how they have rejected God, referring to the old covenant. And so God, again, he sends other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. Notice this verse 5. I want to highlight this. They paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his own business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and even killed them. This is referring to the nation of Israel actually murdered prophets in the Old Testament. God had sent his servants, meaning the Old Testament prophets, and they were treated harshly and even killed as a messenger of God. That's what he's referring to. He's actually foreshadowing what's coming. But notice in verse 5, I want to highlight this. It said they paid no attention and they went about their own business. If we are not careful, this can be us today. God is extending an invitation to be a part of something bigger than this world. But I talk to way too many Christians that are all about their own business. They may come to church on Sunday. They may sing a worship song from the radio. But does their day-to-day life represent the Father? See, I'm a firm believer that we are not called according to our own purpose. How many love that scripture, Romans 8:23, right? That God works all things for good for those that love him. But we like to put a period there, as if that's the ending of the verse. But the ending of the verse actually says God works all things for good for those that love him and those that are called according to his purpose. See, because when we're living for our own purpose, we tend to get ourselves into trouble, right? And then we expect God to pick up the pieces. When God's like, if you're called according to my purpose, watch what I can do no matter what the situation is. That's the God that I serve. We're called according to his purpose for his glory. The Bible makes it clear that everything we do needs to be done to the glory of Christ, not ourselves. See, and that's what was happening in the Old Testament. They were invited to be a part of this relationship with the Father, but they missed it because they paid attention to their own desires. Verse 7 through 10 says this. Let's continue on. The king was angry. He sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. That's referring to the judgment over the nation of Israel under the old covenant. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those who were invited are not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads, invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find." Those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding feast has been filled with guests. Now this is transitioning towards the new covenant, the covenant under the blood of Jesus. How it's not just Jews, the descendants of Jews that are invited to the wedding. Any single person anywhere globally has an invitation to become restored in Christ Jesus. And so God is sending out his servants that represents every single believer in Christ to invite all people everywhere to come to the wedding feast, which is a symbolism of what will come when Jesus comes back and raptures his church. One day it will happen. Doesn't matter what you believe. Truth is truth whether we believe it or not. And one day Jesus is coming back. But right now in the season that we are in, God is sending out his church to invite as many as you can find to celebrate Jesus Christ. But notice this, verse 11 through 14. But when the king came in and looked at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. He said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" He said he was speechless. And the king said to the attendants, "Bind his hand and foot, cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many are called, but few are chosen." This is a hard part to read. Because someone received an invitation and even showed up to the wedding. But he was unprepared. And he was cast into hell. I'm a firm believer that there will be Christians that will end up in hell. Because Jesus didn't come to create a religion. Jesus didn't come just for Sunday morning. He came to change who we are, to restore us back to the Father. And there are Christians, people that call themselves a Christian, that do not follow Jesus. And they are unprepared. They are going about their own business, their own purpose. And one day they're going to show up to the wedding with a very rude awakening. Which is why I'm not afraid to say it. We need to be ready. Our eyes need to be fixed on Jesus. I want to look at this scripture, Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become a slave to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Something you notice about the terminology in scripture is that salvation is both past tense, present tense, and future tense. They reference it as something that was done for you, something you're doing now, and something that will be done later. Because salvation is not a one-time prayer, it's a process. It's a life that is fully dedicated to God as his servants. If you look in the Greek, that word slaves of God means a servant of God. But now that you have been set free from your sin, you have become a servant of God. And the fruit that you get will lead to your sanctification and then will eventually lead to eternal life. in the present time, right here, 21st century, Helena, Montana, we are servants of the living God. And he is leading us into sanctification. In other words, he is preparing us for the wedding feast. Another thought I want you guys to catch from this parable is that all people are now invited to the wedding feast. I love Romans chapter 10, verse 11, one of my favorite scriptures. It says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jews and Greeks. The same Lord is Lord over all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is what Jesus came for. That all people everywhere can call on the name of Jesus and they will be saved. But those who come must be prepared. Are you following me this morning? I want to shift gears for a second. And let's look at the same story, spoken in a different way to a different audience. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. It's the parable of the talents. Very well-known parable, right? Let's read it together. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went on at once, traded with them, and he had made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who received the 5 talents came forward, bringing his 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. And he who had 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here. I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Verse 24. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you had scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But the master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him. Give it to the one who had 10 talents. Everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken. Notice verse 30, it ends the same way. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a similar story, spoken in a different way. The context of this prayer, Jesus is now speaking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives. This is hours before he is arrested. One of the last things Jesus says to his disciples before he's arrested is this parable. Let's go through it again. Verse 14 through 15. It'll be on the screen. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. That's important. God only gives to you according to your own ability. He is in control. He gives to each everyone according to his purpose, according to your ability and what he has called you to. So if God is asking you to do something, let me tell you, he will equip you to do whatever he asks you to do. That's the Father that we serve. Look at verse 16 through 18. He who had received the 5 talents went at once, traded with them, made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. I love this. The first servant was given 5. He takes it. He takes what the Lord gave him and he invests that forward. The same thing with servant number 2. He takes 2 and he invests it forward and receives 2 more. But the last servant took what the Lord gave him and did nothing with it and buried it because he was afraid. If we are not careful, we oftentimes fall into that category where the Lord is giving you something. He's calling you according to a purpose. And we take what the Lord gives and we bury it because we're afraid. What's the opposite of faith? It's fear. God says to walk in faith. So when we walk in fear, it'll lead us to a place we never intended to go. Verse 19 through 23. After a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with him. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. I've made 5 more. And we know that he looked at the person with 5. I'm not going to read this. The person who came back, invested 5 more, he was called good and faithful servant. The servant that came with 2 and gave him 2 more, what did the master say? Well done, my good and my faithful servant. But what did he say to the person that only received 1 and did nothing with it? He calls them a worthless servant, a lazy and slothful servant. And he casts him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What we can learn from this parable, God entrusts his servants with talents. He has a specific plan for each and every one of us. And he gives to us according to our own ability. And he expects his servants to do something with it. He expects his servants to invest what they have been given. And to those that do nothing with what they have been given will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why all this is important, let's look at the 2 parables for a second. Master, in each story, represents God the Father. The servants represent those that believe in him. The wedding feast servants were given an invitation. They were given something by the master, an invitation. And what did they do? They went out in obedience and began to hand out the invitation so people can come to the wedding feast. In the parable of the talents, the servants were given talents, and they invested that forward, except for the one. The person in the wedding feast who came to the wedding feast unprepared, he was thrown into outer darkness. He was thrown into hell. In the parable of the talents, the servant who did nothing with what he was giving to him, again, same terminology, was thrown into outer darkness where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What I learned from this, God takes his commission seriously. God is not okay with laziness. He has a plan and a purpose, and we must work diligently to see God's glory come. Why all this is important? I want to take a second. I want to highlight some of my favorite scriptures that talk about God's heart. What he is in the business for today. One of my favorite scriptures, Matthew 24:14, says this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Again, this is within that week before Jesus dies and is resurrected and commissions his church empowered by the Holy Spirit. He tells his disciples that the gospel that I am giving to you will be proclaimed throughout the whole world and all nations as a testimony, and then the end will come. I'm jumping ahead a little bit here. Did you know that 42% of the world has never heard the name of Jesus? 42%. And in America, I hear so many people say, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. You got to be ready right now. They look at America and they think this is the end time. And I'm like, dude, there's 42% left to accomplish. Because what Jesus said would happen hasn't happened yet. And so if we stay on mission, we stay on the purpose of God, we realize there is more work to be done. And I'm not going to get sidetracked by the signs and wonders. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, and I'm going to keep moving forward until every person has received an invitation. Matthew 28:16-20. We all know this scripture. It's a great scripture. Jesus had died, been resurrected. One of the last things he said to his disciples, he says, the 11 disciples were at Galilee to the mountain that Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to him, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Verse 19, we all know this one, right? Go therefore to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and I am with you always to the end of the age. So now Jesus has died, and he's resurrected on the third day, and he meets with the 11 disciples because Judas had killed himself. And he tells them that this gospel, I'm going to send it to the nations. You are going to build disciples of all nations. And you are going to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he says, I am with you. That's a symbolism. The Spirit will come and he will be with his church no matter where they go. He is going to empower his church. I love this scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. It says, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires what? All people to come to the knowledge of truth and be saved. The knowledge of truth. So what is truth? We would love to think in our culture that truth is a relative concept, right? That what's true to you, well, that's your truth. Well, I have my own truth. What does Scripture say? That Jesus is truth. Like, we know that Scripture, John 14, verse 6, right? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So truth is not a relative concept that we can think about in our culture. Truth is the person of Jesus. So when 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, God desires all people to come to the knowledge of truth and be saved, what he's really saying is God desires all people to come to the knowledge of Jesus and be saved. 42% of the world has never heard the name of Jesus. God's heart is for those 42%. He desires those people to come to the knowledge of Jesus so that they might be saved. Now let's look at the ending of the story. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. After this I looked, behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every tribe, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor, power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Revelation chapter 7 is the coming of the rapture of the church. And what Revelation says is that there will be people from every tribe, every nation, every people group in the world will have someone standing before Jesus, hailing him as king with a palm branch in their hand. A palm branch was a symbol of the nation of Israel, meaning they have been brought into the family of God. 42% have no access yet. And I don't know about you, I'm not okay with that. The reality of the world, there's 4.6 billion people, over 6,000 unreached people groups. An unreached people group is a group of people with a different ethnicity and language and culture that have no access to the gospel in their local language and context, which means they will never hear the gospel without outside help. There's over 6,000 of them in the world, about 42% of the population. Now here's some stats, United States of America church statistics. Are you ready? Less than 1% of all missions goes to unreached places. Less than 1%. And that's workers and giving. Less than 1%. Now, that's not just an Assemblies of God statistic. That's all churches in America. Assemblies of God is quite a bit different. We believe in unreached people. We want to go there. We're actually the biggest missions force around the world to unreached places. And I'm not okay with those statistics, church. And I hope you're not. So let me conclude the message with saying this before we talk anymore. Until Jesus comes back, or until I leave this world, you are going to find me with an invitation in my hand, on the road, looking for someone who has never heard the name of Jesus. That's where you're going to find me. You're going to find me with a talent that God has given me, investing that forward for the glory of Jesus. You're not going to find me waiting in the banquet hall. You're going to find me serving Jesus, called according to his purpose, so that all people everywhere can have access to this grace. And I'm not going to settle for anything less. And I pray that that challenges you this morning, because God has given you the ability to serve him well. He has empowered you with his Spirit, not to live according to your own purpose, not to go your own way in your own direction, but because he has a plan for this world, and it is not yet accomplished. He has a heart for people, your neighbors, the people in your work. And if we get distracted, someone may pay the price for eternity. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, church. He is worth it. Amen?
Amen.
Let me pray, and then we're going to close the live stream, and then Pastor Jason can come and do whatever. Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you, Jesus, for your word and the challenge that we see. I pray every single person here today would be challenged to serve you well, to see your glory be made known amongst the nations of the world. May we recognize, God, that we are called according to your purpose, for your desire, for your heart. And God, I really believe that if the Holy Spirit dwells within us, then the heart of God will dwell within us. And we will be burdened for the people around us that don't know you. Let it be so, Jesus. Let it be so.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.